the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, Donald Trump and Greenland and the EU's response to it is an ongoing story. Donald Trump was speaking to NBC News a little bit earlier this afternoon. He had a brief telephone interview even when he was asked about the potential of force being used to seize Greenland. He said no comment when asked directly about that and said that Europe should focus on Russia and Ukraine. The US president was then pushed on whether he would potentially put troops in and take Greenland by force. And again, he said no comment. He's also insisted that he would 100% push ahead with his plans to hit European nations with tariffs if he doesn't get Greenland. So, if you are just following this story now, you will know that the weekend there were developments as well where the US President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social. He said he would impose further tariffs on 8 European countries if he's not allowed to buy Greenland, which he continues to insist is essential for the security of the USA. A senior spokesperson for the EU said that the EU is trying to remain calm and leaders are set to meet again on Thursday. I'm joined by Seán Murray, who's a Europe correspondent with Euronews, and Dan O'Brien, chief economist with the Institute of Economic and European Affairs, is with us as well. Seán, if I can come to you first, how has this been received, the latest threat of tariffs for these countries, namely Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Finland and Britain?
Well, obviously pretty much shock and outrage because it's an unprecedented moment for transatlantic relations. And there was a discussion about immediately retaliating. But the idea is now to use the next week to engage with the US team, with the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself, to see if there's a way out of these tariffs, this tariff move from him. You know, what he's threatened is that they would apply from the 1st of February. So time was sort of ticking to get that negotiation over the line to resolve the situation. But I think people are very concerned, obviously. This could mean you have huge ramifications, not just for the economies, but also from a security perspective when it comes to NATO and the European Union. So there's real worry about it.
I think normally, Seán, what would happen here is the EU would probably consider this unlikely to happen because it would be tariffs against some individual nations within the EU. But given the way that Donald Trump has been speaking, it seems that the US president has no problem in just sanctioning, as he sees it, some individual countries as opposed to the EU en bloc.
That's right. I mean, Donald Trump has in the past shown quite a disregard for the European Union in and of itself. He's always said that it was set up to go after the United States. So, you know, those sort of rules that do apply for the EU, because as a single market, it negotiates trade policy for the whole of the 27. Those things he doesn't really feel applies to him. But nonetheless, anyway, if there would be this application of tariffs to just 7 EU member states, then the EU would respond accordingly in a spirit of solidarity to protect themselves. So again, it's an unprecedented moment. But what the EU is saying, what the Commissioner said today, was that they'd like to see cool heads prevail and then try to negotiate out of this situation. But it's really, I mean, at the moment, I'm actually at NATO now, and the Danish Defence Minister and the Greenlandic Foreign Minister is here meeting Secretary General Rutte and a couple of other allies like the Norwegians and so on. So obviously in the background, there's a lot of gaming and game planning as to what can emerge if Donald Trump doesn't back down.
Dan O'Brien, when it comes to what can potentially happen with the tariffs here, so while February the 1st is an important date because he's talking about that for imposition in the first place, he is saying that potentially by June the 1st they could be ramped up to 25% against these 8 countries in Europe at the moment. Despite the fact that the Republic of Ireland is not named, this would still have a huge impact on Ireland, wouldn't it?
Evening, Will. Yes, it would if the European Union responds. And not to get into the technicalities of it, but America can tariff individual European countries differently, but individual European countries cannot change the tariff on the US, which means that the 6 countries that have been tariffed by the US or threatened with additional tariffs by the US, they don't have the freedom to tariff the US back. That only happens at a collective 27 level. And I believe that is exactly what's going to happen if the US goes ahead, which means Ireland and every country in the EU will put tariffs on some new US goods coming into the European Union. So that is the first wave. That will affect Irish consumers, be they individuals or businesses, and that will be an additional cost for Irish business, so a business and consumers. So that's the very initial first round effect if this goes ahead.
Simon Harris was armed with the words of the Department of Finance as well. And, quote, they had warned that if these tariffs were to happen, it would be, quote, of critical importance to the Irish economy. So very clearly, those who are thinking about this within the Department of Finance see this as a potential massive knock on to us.
Well, if it escalates, so I think we could live with the first round of tariff, but the idea, given that what we all know of Donald Trump at this stage, he is very unlikely to not hit back if Europe retaliates. So we're getting into a sort of a cycle where one side hits the other and the other side goes it hits again. Where does that end? So it's if it goes into a spiral, that's where it becomes really damaging for the Irish economy. Unfortunately, it looks like we're heading into that. And I'd just like to say, Will, that, you know, this is a completely different situation from last year. Mm. What America is threatening here is the sort of thing that Russia has done in Ukraine, except Ukraine is not an EU member state. Denmark and Greenland are, Denmark's part of the EU and its territory is Greenland. So this is a totally different ballgame. And in my view, the EU will, last year, it backed down. This year, over this issue, I don't see the EU backing down.
And understandably, we've had the reaction on both sides of the Atlantic on the stock market, which has become very concerned about this potentially happening. Germany and the UK particularly are massive, not just exporters to the US, but massive importers of US products as well.
Yeah. So look, these measures damage everyone. But part of the logic here is that if the Europeans show that they are prepared to damage the American economy and accept that it's going to damage them, the hope is that that will cause the US to back down. All that market stuff, I find the first time I've ever sort of said this, that it would actually be good if there was a market crisis here, because there was a market crisis last year when Trump initially moved to impose tariffs. And that was seems the major reason to cause him to back down and stall everything after April 2nd. So if there were to be market turmoil, we're seeing some of that today, the US markets open tomorrow, that we would see a significant impact, and that might cause him to back down.
Mm. Shona, when it comes to the EU's response to this, it seems diplomatic. Just reading Simon Harris's comments just before we come on air, he has been, I think, very diplomatic in what he said. He says that Europe will stand united. We will always stay united with Greenland. He's called for cool and calm negotiations and dialogue now to be opened, and stressed the fact that when the EU and US work together, it's beneficial for both sides. And again, the kind of EU response across the afternoon seemed to be, okay, let's sit down and talk. Let's not escalate with big words at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But like at the end of the day, as Dan has said, this is unprecedented. And Donald Trump has said that he's open for negotiations with Denmark in relation to Greenland. So I think when you're having a negotiation, the other side has to be sort of on the same table, at least that you're negotiating for the same thing. There is no negotiation for Denmark. For Greenland. That's the position. And of course, everybody wants to get out of this crazy situation where you might have not just tariffs, but also a coercion, further coercion from the United States to take Denmark or to take Greenland. That's what their policy is. So this week will be crucial at Davos with Trump there, but then we don't know what he's going to do. I mean, one of the things that you hear a lot here in Brussels is that while there's an agreement between the US and the EU over tariffs back during the summer, that all of that can fall apart one morning with a Truth Social post, that the nature of the US administration is so erratic that it's very, very hard that even when you do negotiate, that will actually, you know, stand or be worth the paper it's written on. And we're seeing this sort of reemerge now as well, that problem.
Like, erratic is the only word for it, really, because I was reading the text exchange from yesterday, the 18th of January, between Donald Trump and the Norwegian Premier. And again, Norway's official line here is, let's sit down and have a chat. You know, we're proposing a call with you later today, with both of us or separately. Give us a hint of what you'd prefer. All the best, Alex and Jonas. And then Donald Trump's reply is almost like something that he would post on Truth Social, even down to the way that he uses random capitalized words along the way. Mm. And his annoyance is about the fact that Norway won't give him the Nobel Peace Prize. And then he says, well, you know what, if you're not going to give me the Nobel Peace Prize, I've stopped 8 wars. I have no problem going in and using my military here.
That's right. I mean, I think he said that he no longer feels the need to pursue peace because he wasn't given the Nobel Peace Prize. Not that even the Norwegian government aren't even responsible for that. And also, Norway is not a part of Denmark and Greenland either. So he sort of mixed everything up. But even still, regardless, it's quite astonishing. In fact, when I read that letter today, I thought it was fake, because even amid what we're seeing and what we've seen over the last few days in relation to Donald Trump, totally irrational, that even in itself is again another step further. So again, that's why the expectations can't be too high for success when it comes to negotiations, because the other side that you're talking to has to be at least on the same page, and that is not the case. And, you know, if you look at even the likes of Scott Bessent, yesterday on Fox News, or one of the news outlets in the US, was saying that the US should take over Greenland. It's better for NATO, which is a very colonial sort of mindset. It's better for NATO. It'll save NATO if the US takes over Greenland. And he also said, you know, well, what if Ukraine falls? So the Americans know that Europe is in a very tight position because it does require some support from the US. They're buying all the weapons from the United States, but they also have military intelligence, and they also have been negotiating security guarantees for Ukraine in the event of a ceasefire. These things are still on the table. They're still looming large. We still see Vladimir Putin bombing targets in Kyiv, all across Ukraine, hospitals and so on. So that war is still ongoing. So this is a whole new problem from the EU. It's another territorial conquest, but this time by an ally.
We're joined by Derek Scally as well, who's Irish Times correspondent at Berlin. Derek, I believe you were over in Greenland and you're now back in Germany?
Yes, I spent a week there, quite a strange time in a strange place, both very lonely and quite vulnerable. And people there really, they have a history, a colonial history. So when they start feeling they're in another plaything in a bigger colonial game, you can imagine how deeply triggering that is. I mean, Irish people know what it's like to be a pawn in some larger game. So it's a difficult time for people there, particularly because they really don't know what's coming their way.
What was the feeling on the ground? Because in a way, it feels like Greenland are almost being slightly forgotten about here, where Donald Trump talks about negotiations with Denmark and talks about, you know, no comment when it comes to potentially going in and using force in order to acquire, will either purchase or, you know, they could use measures or use tariffs or whatever is required to get a deal over the line here. What do normal Greenlanders feel at the moment about the potential of America coming in and taking them over?
Well, I mean, every poll says they don't want them there. Some people say, oh, maybe there's some options, but all you need to do is mention stuff like Danish healthcare, because as part of the Kingdom of Denmark, you know, they get the European experience as part of the North American continent. And if they have serious health issues, they get basically free healthcare and stuff like that you're not going to get from Donald Trump. So while there is a strong independence movement there, and a majority of Greenlanders do want independence sooner rather than later, I think most people I spoke to, they said, look, we're not quite there yet. This is an interesting option, but we don't want to be taken by force, and we certainly don't want to end up like the Virgin Islands or some sort of neither here nor there status. And it's interesting in Denmark, who I was there on my way back to Berlin, and many people there, they're very clear. Look, they said only the Greenlanders can decide this. Like, they have an agreement that at any point, they don't even need a border poll like in Ireland. At any point, Greenland can say, we're going to have a referendum. And if Greenlanders vote to go, they can go. It's just the finances. At least a fifth of their budget comes as direct transfers from Denmark, and much more is sort of indirect transfers, stuff like the health system and so on. So they couldn't really afford to pay their way if they chose to go. So that kind of keeps them in sort of a sullen alliance with Denmark. But most people definitely want to go, but certainly not to Trump, and certainly not before they can actually finance some sort of a standard of living that they have at present.
Derek, Dan mentioned earlier, you know, the EU's response to this economically. Can you tell us a bit about the big bazooka option that could be potentially there for the EU if they decide to go en bloc against the American economy here?
Oh, well, I mean, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has pulled out the big bazooka. I'm not sure what the French is for bazooka, but yeah, he wants to go all in. And this is met with a very cool response from the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz. And he's taken a line a bit more similar to Ireland, where he's saying, look, France wants tariffs, but their economy is different to ours. The German economy, you know, cars, machines, they've already been hit by Trump tariffs. So more tariffs is something they don't want. And he said, look, tariffs are paid by the people, by consumers. So if we want to hit the Trump administration and US consumers will be paying the price, that was hitting the wrong target. And then he spoke of the risk of an escalation. So he says, you know, Germany's trying to play a middle way. On the one hand, they say, we do share Trump's concerns about the Arctic, that, you know, Russia and China are, would be fools if they weren't trying to move in at some point in the near future. Where they disagree, where Germany disagrees with the US, is they say, well, we don't see why the US needs to take over the region. So he'll have a chance to talk to Donald Trump in Davos at the World Economic Forum on Wednesday. So Germany is very much trying to play it down the line. We don't want to talk him up even more. And Merz has been in office for 10 months, and he said just as often Trump makes threats like this. And then there's talks, they have talks, and then that leads him to refrain from imposing the tariffs. So he's kind of urging cool heads, and we'll see who will prevail, the German approach or the French approach.
Dan, we're looking at all this very much with a European lens. Is there anybody pulling the strings within the economy in the US who at some point might turn around to the president and say, please stop this. We would prefer not to have tariffs on items coming in here and tariffs potentially for exports coming out of the USA as well?
Yeah, well, I think that there will be, one, that market issue, that if there is a wobble in the US financial markets, that he will see that and people close to him will see that and articulate the risks to the US of that. I think if Europe sets out very clearly where it's going to target tariffs on American goods, that package has been very designed to maximize damage to Republican electoral districts so that those Republican representatives will lobby the president to downplay, to ease this rhetoric, because they don't want to lose jobs in their electoral districts. So the package is designed to raise the pressure on the White House via the American political system. So there is a logic to all of this. And I certainly think that there will be voices in the US, including the business community, that don't want this. And if the Europeans say that they're going to retaliate, all those American economic interests will have some voice and will try and bring pressure to bear on the US. But obviously, this is a very unique president, and you know, those normal economic interests don't have the kind of sway that they've traditionally had over other US presidents.
Okay, we'll get very much the US perspective with Callum Marion tomorrow on the show.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.